As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Jason Mackey, in for the guys. Thank you very much, Limits. Is this Ray's music?
It is, yes.
I love this. This is tremendous. Ray Fittipaldo is brought to you by the Western Pennsylvania injury attorneys Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. And man, very nice intro music. Ray, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good morning, Jason. I'm doing well.
Good morning. I see you on the screen. It's even better. It's great to see you. Great to hear you. It was a lot better than the Aaron Rodgers stuff yesterday, was it not? What did you think watching that whole thing?
Yeah, listen, I don't get the sense right now that the Steelers were put off by anything he said, because I think they had all the information that, you know, that Aaron told the world yesterday. They know he's going through some personal stuff right now, and, you know, like Art said at the owners' meetings, they're willing to wait a little while longer. Now, I think the question for the Steelers now is how long are you willing to wait? Honestly, Jason, I don't think this alters their draft strategy whatsoever. I think all things are in play next week in terms of a quarterback. But whether he signs or not is not going to change that. So to me now it becomes, okay, do you want to have him in there by OTAs? I would think so. I don't get the sense they want this to drag into training camp in the summer, but I still think we might have another month or so to go before this is resolved.
Ray, how does it not alter their draft strategy? Devil's advocate. I mean, I'm going to, if I think I'm signing Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to try to improve my team for 2025. Like, how would they just proceed? And maybe he shows up, maybe he doesn't. I don't see how it can not alter their draft strategy. You know more than me, but, I mean, what goes into your head when you say that?
Yeah, just that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a one-shot deal, 1 year for 2025. And
does that mean they're not going to take a quarterback then, you think?
No. I think they're all signs are pointing towards them taking a quarterback. But what I'm saying is if Aaron Rodgers does not sign, I don't think it necessarily means, oh boy, we got to jump up and get Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart in the first round. They could still take one of those guys at 21. Maybe if, you know, their three defensive line targets aren't there, or, you know, anyone else is there that they like. They, you know, if a quarterback is the highest player on their board, they could certainly take him. But, you know, it just seems to me that the way they've done this is they're probably going to go D-line at 21, if Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant, and Derek Harmon are available. One of those three is there. I think they'll go D-line.
Okay.
But listen, anything is in play if they're gone. Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, was in here. They've had a bunch of first-round targets that they're looking at, so I wouldn't rule out Sanders or Dart if they are there.
Okay. All right. My ears perked up for a second, Ray, when you said all signs are pointing to them taking a quarterback, but then you clarified. You're saying anywhere in the draft. You're not saying at 21.
Yeah. And right now, I'm more likely to think it's third or fourth round, but I want to keep 21 in play just because, you know, there is that hole on their roster. They need a franchise quarterback, whether Aaron is here or not.
Yeah, I just wish they would know by the time they're on the clock whether Aaron Rodgers was that guy or not, but I guess I'm not going to get that wish. All right, Ray, one thing I'm a little confused by, Art Rooney II said at the owners' meetings that he had sort of positive signals about Aaron Rodgers. How do you think that is? Like, do you think that's wishful thinking on his part? Do you think Aaron Rodgers might be giving mixed messages? I don't like. Why would he say that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Aaron was given the opportunity yesterday to say that the Steelers are in the driver's seat, and he didn't do that for whatever reason. So I think that sort of came off as maybe, a negative towards the Steelers. But honestly, Jason, we're not privy to what went on in those 6 hours inside the Rooney Sports Complex. And everything that we've heard that's been leaked out is that it was a positive meeting for the Steelers, and Aaron pretty much said that again, you know, yesterday. I don't know why he wouldn't answer that question and say the Steelers were the team yesterday. That's a little puzzling to me, but I still think that the Steelers believe they're in a good spot, and I think they're willing to wait, like Art said, a little while longer, you know, to get an answer.
All right, Ray, so you had your mock draft, something you do all the time, and we, of course, are chatting with Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can follow him on X at Ray Fitt. One, talking post-gazette.com, though, you had a mock draft, your final one. You had Derek Harmon from Oregon going at number 21. You mentioned earlier you think if one of the big defensive tackle prospects are there, that's the route they go. Why is Harmon the guy for you at 21?
Yeah, I just think Cam Hayward is going to turn 36 next month. I think it would be great if Hayward could mentor his replacement. And that's a very important position on this defensive line. You go back, who did Cam Hayward replace? He replaced Aaron Smith. And Aaron Smith never got the all-pro accolades that Cam Hayward did. But when you have that lineage from generation to generation, I think you want to keep that going. I'm not saying like the position that Larry Ogunjobi vacated is less important, but in the Steelers' defense, that five technique has been really important over the years. So as long as they're a base 3-4 team, I think that's going to be the number one target. But I will tell you, Walter Nolan is on their radar. Kenneth Grant was on their radar. They spoke to both at the combine. A lot of people are reading into Harmon coming here and Grant and Nolan not coming here for a visit, but I wouldn't read too much into that. I think all three of those guys are in play on Thursday night.
And Mason Graham's going to be gone, right? That's sort of the general assumption.
Yeah, listen, Mason Graham has been like a top five, top 10 guy all along. You know, everyone gets knocked in the pre-draft process. There's a lot of people saying that maybe he'll fall a little bit, but I don't think there's any way he's going to fall to 21.
Okay. So Derek Harmon, I think you wrote he's the best three technique defensive lineman in the draft. I want to say maybe I'm mixing things up, but tell me what Derek Harmon.
Five technique.
Five technique. Yep, I'm sorry. I got it mixed up. So what does Harmon do exceptionally well? Like what should people know about his game?
He's got the prototypical, you know, he's like 6'5", 300, perfect for playing that position. Really athletic. I would like to see him use his size and strength more. To his abilities. Right now, I would say he's more finesse than brute strength, and I think that's why Cam Hayward can be a great teacher for him. When you have that frame and you have that length, and eventually he's going to have that strength, you can play big boy football like Cam Hayward has all these years. So you know you got a great athlete. You know, just coach him up a little bit, get him to play that Steelers style of defense. I think it'd be a good match.
The Pomp and Joe Show, Jason Mackey in for the guys, chatting right now with Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about his mock draft. You can read that at post-gazette.com. So, Ray, you go with Derek Harmon. Was it a tough choice between him and somebody else? You mentioned Walter Nolan as being a possibility. Was that kind of what you were down to, those two?
Yeah, and Kenneth Grant as well. You know, the reason is, Jason, that they don't have a starting three technique right now after releasing Larry Ogunjobi. So Walter Nolan, if he's there, that would be a good pick. And I've been saying all along, really, since that playoff game in Baltimore, and I know you were there with me, sitting next to me in the press box.
Was I next to you, or did I go to another seat because it was so darn cramped?
Because it was so cramped. Yeah, because it was so cramped in that that
we stayed in the same hotel. I know that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was 300 yards rushing. They were just gashed, and I think it's time. I'm not saying Keanu Benton is a bad player, but you know, I think you need a little bit more beef in the middle of that line, and I think they can shore up their run defense if it is Kenneth Grant. And I think Keanu Benton can bump out and play three technique if you want to go that direction. So I'm not saying it's all in on Harmon. I think any of those three would help the Steelers defense, to be honest with you.
All right, Ray. One question I've been rolling around in my brain, and this is not defensive line related, but Shedeur Sanders, if he's there, you mentioned you would take him. I think a lot of people would. Do you worry at all about Deion being too much of a part of things, having too much of a role here? Or do you think he would back off knowing what the role of an NFL dad is, you know, and stay out of the Steelers business?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a common situation. I know a lot of people kind of want to draw comparisons to Archie Manning kind of dictating where Eli went. But honestly, after Eli landed in New York, I didn't really hear too much about Archie or anyone else interfering with how they developed him. So, the pre-draft thing is different from when a player actually gets in the building. Deion played in the league. I think he has a lot of respect for Mike and the Steelers organization. And I would think he would be hands off. He's got his own team to coach out of Colorado. I don't know how long he's going to stay there when he's got a son in the NFL. He might want to follow him at some point. But I do think Deion, just knowing his background, he would be smart to let Shedeur, do his own thing. But, I certainly think he has enough respect for the Steelers that he would do that as well.
Couple more questions. Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, you wrote that Tyler Shuck from Louisville would be your pick in the third round, I believe. Obviously, Shuck's a little bit older, a little bit more experienced, maybe the most NFL-ready quarterback there. How would you see that? If that's the route they went, how would you see that dynamic playing out in terms of allocating playing time to a guy like Tyler Shuck?
I mean, I just think he's the backup the number three as a rookie, more likely the number three.
He's probably going to sit a lot then. You're not giving him a chance to start right away.
He works his way up, and I think Mason would be the guy if Aaron doesn't sign, or certainly be the number three if Aaron Rodgers does sign. But I just think if you're going to pick a quarterback third or fourth round, you might as well take the guy who has the most potential. I think Tyler Shuck, if the injuries, are a thing in his past, if he can stay healthy, he's as talented arm-wise as any quarterback in this draft. And they didn't run him at Louisville. They didn't run him at any of his other college stops. But this guy ran like a 4.6 3 in the 40 at the combine too. So he's athletic, and you could do some stuff with him in the running game as well.
Last serious question I have for you, Ray, was about Bashiel Tutin from Virginia Tech. Fast, exciting back, I think. How would you see his role developing? Like, what could he add to the Steelers, obviously, alongside Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren?
Well, Tutin would be the pick, and I went back and forth. Do I want to give them a bigger back? Tutin's like 5'9", 205-ish. Kind of similar to Jaylen Warren, but I think what separates him from Jaylen Warren, I don't think he's the all-around back that Jaylen Warren is. I think Jaylen is great in pass pro, really good catching out the ball out of the backfield. But the one thing that he maybe lacks is that ability to take it the distance at any point. And with Bashiel Tutin running, I think, a 4.32, if I have that right, one of the faster players at the combine this year, that gives the Steelers kind of that missing element that they've had. They've been without in their running game, with Najee and with Jaylen Warren. So they've kind of been like a plodding running team, I think. For a team that doesn't have a franchise quarterback right now, I think you need that big playability in your backfield, and Tutin with his speed certainly provides that.
And you're right, Ray. 4.32. That's what you wrote in the mock draft. All right. So one fun question. I was going to pose this to Limits after you got off the air. The morning show guys yesterday were talking about Taco Bell. Ironically, I just took my 6-year-old to Taco Bell. He loves Taco Bell. It's like one of our guilty pleasures in terms of fast food. What's your favorite, like, sort of embarrassed to admit, or you'll stop there, or you'll sneak a meal there, fast food place that's not healthy for you, but you don't care?
For me, I don't know if it's nostalgia or what, and there's not too many of these left in Pittsburgh, but I'm a big hush puppy crumbs guy at Long John Silver.
Yes.
And I don't go for the fish. I go for the chicken planks, the crumbs, and the hush puppies. I haven't had it in a while, Jason, but now I'm kind of hungry for it.
Dude, I'm with you. I will absolutely stop at a Long John Silver, like twice a year, something like that. That's what I tell my son. I'm like, we'll go get garbage fast food once or twice a year, you know, or specific places. So I'm with you, Long John's. Thanks, Ray. Always a pleasure, man. Have a great one. Have a happy holiday weekend.
All right, you too, Jason. See you.
Take care. Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Follow him at RayFit1. I believe that's his Twitter handle. Yes, it is. You can read his latest mock draft at post-gazette.com. Some excellent stuff in there. Derek Harmon in the first round. Obviously, the Steelers don't have a second-round pick. Tyler Shuck in the third. He's taking Bashal Tuten later on. Again, I said earlier, I would be absolutely fine if that's the way the draft played out for the Steelers' limits. What say you?
Yeah, I think it's going to end up being defensive line or wide receiver. I would stay away from quarterback in the first round in any situation. Even if guys fell to them at 21, I still wouldn't do it. I'm just not comfortable with the guys that are there. So whether it be Harmon, he is probably, I mean, considering the guys that are going to be taken right around the top of the draft, and I was looking at a CBS Sports mock draft. The latest CBS Sports mock draft that just came out today does not have a wide receiver taken at all in the first 21 picks. So the Steelers would have their pick of the litter of any wide receiver. This mock draft from CBS Sports that just came out today has no wide receivers in the first rounds at all from Tom Fornelli. None.
Limits, I'd have a hard time not taking one if that played out that way.
Me too.
I also have a tough time seeing no wide receivers go among the top 20 picks.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because it's not a bad wide receiver class.
Right. I know.
It's not like that running back class a couple of years ago where nobody went in the first round and there was a run on them in the third round. This mock draft also has Jackson Dart in a trade up with the Saints moving from the second round back to the first to pick 29.
Interesting.
So that means the Steelers would pass on Jackson Dart. And they would have the chance to do so.
If you had your run of or choice of any wide receiver in this draft, who would it be? Ibuka still? Matthew Golden?
Ibuka or Luther Burton?
Luther Burton, okay.
I like both of them, just the shiftiness. Ibuka is more of a... Now, the thing about Ibuka for me is, think about all the talented receivers that they had at Ohio State that kind of left him in the dust a little bit. Like, Marvin Harrison was there. Jeremiah Smith... They have had so many talented receivers that left in the dust wasn't the right word, but it's basically made Ibuka in the shadows somewhat, where I wonder if his full potential has been able to shine because he's been a very productive wide receiver for them despite not being the number one.
Right. You know what I love about that, though, Limits? He's done that before, and he's a no-maintenance guy, runs good routes. Jeff Hathorn was on with us yesterday, he called him Hines Ward.
Yeah, he's good over the middle. Not afraid to block.
Man, there's something to be said for that stuff. I love it. I want a no-maintenance wide receiver. Again, I don't know if I see it playing out that way. I think I'd probably on draft day be enticed by some of the defensive linemen that Ray was talking about. But if they had their pick, I'm right there with you with Luther Burton. I like Matthew Golden a lot. I think he would be a steal for them. Emeka Ibuka, maybe if you wind up with the second-round pick, maybe he makes sense. I don't know. Maybe it's just a pipe dream too. But, yeah. Good player, intriguing skill set. All right, let's talk a little fast food, man. This came up the other day. I actually wanted to get to this into yesterday's show, but then Aaron Rodgers ruined our plans. The other night I decided, you know, just on a whim, my six-year-old and I both love Taco Bell, and we're like, the heck with it. We're going to Taco Bell. My 11-year-old and wife were eating something else, so we needed to go find some dinner. I love it. We sat there and just crushed tacos. My six-year-old has just always loved tacos, like his favorite food. And so it got me thinking, like, what's our favorite guilty pleasure? And then the morning show yesterday, they were talking about Long John Silver's. I have nothing against Long John Silver's at all. Love the place. I largely try to eat healthy, but every once in a while, it's nice to just say the heck with it. What about you? If you take the dietary restrictions off of it or you just don't care, you've had a bad day, you're going to drown your sorrows in some fast food, where are you going?
I'm going to Burger King or I'm going to Wendy's.
What's the order?
So Burger King... Typically, either an 8-piece chicken nugget because it's like $2.50. Sometimes I'll get two of them and then like a value fry.
Okay.
And I'll get like just a huge assortment of things for like $7.
And no get out Whopper? There. You don't Whopper at Burger King?
No Whopper. Look, Jason, I try to go for like what the most value is here. If you get a Whopper, then you have, you know, obviously the bigger sandwich for like $8. But if you go with the chicken nuggets at $2.50 or $2, it used to be like $1.50.
I know.
Whatever it is.
Stupid inflation.
You're saving some money and you're getting a lot more to eat.
Yeah, I get that, but the Whopper's a good sandwich.
Sure, I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But maybe I just I want some more bang for my buck.
Who has the best fast food fries?
See, here's the thing, and I didn't throw them in here because I don't consider it fast food. I don't consider Chick-fil-A to be a fast food restaurant. You know, like we eat Chick-fil-A a lot, my dad and I, and their fries are the best by far of anybody.
Yep, I'm with you.
I always get a chicken sandwich, the fries, and a cookie. I always get a chocolate cookie.
All right.
So we had a Chick-fil-A at Waynesburg that was put in like right before I transferred there. And every single Friday, other than Lent, I would get Chick-fil-A. And typically, like every Monday, I would get the Chick-fil-A because it was a part of like our flex money on our meal plan.
Okay.
That was like the most popular thing
on campus.
That's what
Waynesburg did? They gave you money to eat a Chick-fil-A?
Yeah. It was a part of our like $250 or $300. I think it might have been $300 that we had in flex money. Might have been $200.
Man, I'm real mad at Westminster right now.
Yeah, no.
We didn't have any
Chick-fil-A
such
at
thing.
Westminster.
Come on.
That's because that Waynesburg comm department and the attraction to go to Waynesburg.
Oh,
just,
come on, brother.
It's a better school in the PAC.
Oh, Limits and I are going to come to blows.
And
all
I love
fair.
Westminster, and I love Scott Benzel, but, you know, there's just something about the comm department at Waynesburg with Lanny Fratteri telling you what to do and being the guiding force in our lives, leading the charge.
Hey, look, you guys have a fantastic comm department. Absolutely no shots fired. A bunch of you guys here. I love you all. Westminster's up there, too. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not...
We do all right.
I'm not poo-pooing Westminster. I have nothing bad to say about Westminster. I had friends that went there.
I know. In college, man, we had no such luxuries because I'm going to school up in Amish country. We had a Subway. That was it. And I feel like I'm talking from the Stone Age, but I mean, it's still kind of the same now. There's just nothing up there. Like, if we were going to go get fast food, you were driving several miles to... There was one Wendy's. McDonald's was a long way. You were probably just going to Subway, and it was not a part of the meal plan. I got a text from Donnie while we're talking about this, and I got to share it. McDonald's fries, tough to beat when fresh. And I'm going to agree with Donnie there. Maybe not over Chick-fil-A, but McDonald's fries when fresh and appropriately salted, very good.
Yeah, but not over Chick-fil-A. I like the McDonald's fries. I don't eat McDonald's that often.
Yeah. One of the best moves we've made in our house is buying a big bottle of Chick-fil-A sauce. I've now taken to putting it on absolutely everything. I'm trying to find what I can put Chick-fil-A sauce on.
So you ready for this hot take that I'm going to get absolutely crushed for?
The Chick-fil-A sauce is no good.
I don't put sauce on anything.
What?
Now, I will eat blue cheese with wings.
Okay.
But when I have a burger...
With your plain wings?
Yes, with my boneless wings, I will put...
Wait a second.
Oh, hold on. Let me clarify that. I will put either honey barbecue or just regular mild wings. Those are the types of wings that I eat. I mean, I don't put any sauce on, you know, when they say, do you want any sauce on like your fish sandwich? Any tartar sauce? Any cocktail sauce? No, I'm okay. Do you want any ketchup and mustard on your burger? No, that's okay. I'll just take the cheese and maybe some lettuce. I'm plain like that. I like my food plain and I like the taste of whatever I'm eating. I don't like to add a lot of extras on top of it. I don't add a lot of toppings. The pickles on the Chick-fil-A sandwich, I pick off the pickles and I eat them.
Okay.
And then I just eat the sandwich plain.
So you don't dump like the whole, like multiple Chick-fil-A sauces on the Chick-fil-A sandwich?
No. When I go somewhere or I get a sandwich or whatever it might be, I will request no onions, no tomato. Just keep the lettuce on there and I'm good. I'm happy.
Okay.
And I understand that it's an unpopular thing. And I'm going to get, you know, probably crushed on the text line for that. But that's just what I like, and that's what I eat. I don't like a lot of toppings.
We could not be any more opposite, at least with this. Our house, our refrigerator is like 90% condiments. I'm pretty sure, man. My wife will make dinner, and we'll put out like if we have burgers and dogs or something for dinner, we'll have like 17 things of condiments on the dinner table. Like we just dabble in everything. I'll put Chick-fil-A sauce on a burger. You've got ketchup and mustard. All this stuff, man. I am such a condiment fiend. I love it. I couldn't do that lifestyle, man. I couldn't do it. But it's a fun topic.
I think, and it, again, it might be an unpopular opinion, I think it takes away from like the main course of whatever you're eating.
I get it. When I was little, I used to put steak sauce on my steak, and my dad would like look at me and shake his head every time. Like, he'd go out and grill steaks in the backyard. He's like, "You're ruining that with steaks." My dad didn't talk like that. It's my best attempt. But he'd be like, "You're putting steak sauce on that. What are you doing?" You know, and he'd let me do it. But like, as I got older, I realized I kind of came over to your camp. Like, I don't want to be tasting the sauce as much as I want to be tasting the meat.
I have very good friends that I've been friends with my entire life. We take trips together every summer, and they're not listening right now because, well, actually they might be listening because they're teachers and they're not in class right now. So if they are, they've heard me say it before. I have two very good friends that put ranch on their pizza.
Yeah, I get that. I see that.
I don't understand
the crust.
That. No, like the whole pizza, they put ranch on it. Or like they will dip ranch with their pizza. And I'm like, what are you doing? What is this? Do people do this? It's just an oddity to me.
I can't wait to check out the text line and see what sort of fast food responses are on there. We'll gather ourselves a little bit. I want to get into that. It's a fun topic.
Man, the amount of people that are texting us, the amount of notable people that have just texted me, Instagram messaged me that are complaining about no sauce and everything.
Really?
Man, yeah.
I mean, that is a bit odd. I will say that. I mean, the sauce is what makes the world go around.
Hey, I'm a plain person in that regard. Right. I am very flamboyant and extravagant with other things. But when it comes to toppings and sauce, I don't dabble into much, no.
Okay.
I like my honey barbecued wings. I like my mild wings. That's about it.
All right.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Jason Mackey in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing behind the glass. Had a lot of fun last segment talking about our favorite fast food restaurants, our favorite fast food guilty pleasures. Appreciate the input there. I want to get to a few of the texts on the text line limits here in a minute. We're also going to talk some Penguins here shortly. I want to get into their offseason as they clean out their lockers and are in Pittsburgh for the final time. What happens to this team? How quickly maybe the Penguins can rebuild? My feelings on the matter are probably a little different than most. I don't think this has to take forever. Stay with us. I will explain why I feel that way. But first, I want to let you know the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I'm not afraid to admit it, as far as the fast food stuff, some Long Johns on in the right setting, really, it hits quite well. And I'm not talking about, you know, fast food. Limits brought this point up. Chick-fil-A, I don't know if I consider it that. Chipotle, I don't know if I consider it that. Five Guys, like, it's a little different. I'm talking about, you know, the Burger King stuff. Long John Silver's, Taco Bell, for instance. I will absolutely run for the border. I have a friend in Mount Lebanon, one of our kids' friends' dads, and we joke about, you know, late night run for the border, go have a couple beers and some Taco Bell late at night as to some, you know, 40-something dads. I love it, man. It's a great time. I don't feel bad about it whatsoever. What else do we have on the text line limits?
Yeah, and one more thing on that. My friends and I, like, would try to beat the buzzer right before right before Burger King would close. We'd be like, all right, we just got done playing basketball. What are we going to do now? We have half an hour to get to Burger King. We're 15 minutes away. Can we get there before, like, they look at us and give us that side eye? Like, please just leave us alone. We're done in 15 minutes. We don't want you to be here. I'm not saying that that's what they think, but maybe.
Right.
And we'd get there typically just in time to be able to get our order of nuggets in.
Noah Hiles has a great story that in college, I forget the name of the restaurant, but it was someplace that, like, they were going to close and they were going to get rid of all this food. And he and his buddies would show up like 10 minutes before they were about to close. And he's like, look, we know you're about to throw away all this food. How about we just give you $20? You give us everything back in the kitchen and we call it a day.
Wow.
And this place would do it. It's great.
I like that call.
The next time Noah's on with Pomp and Joe and you have an opportunity to ask about that, have him clarify. It's a good one.
We'll do. All right. Text line. Somebody says that ranch is used by at least 50 people, 50% of people, no doubt. What do you think of that? You think 50% of the...
I think above 50%.
50% of the American populace uses ranch?
Do you dislike ranch or you just dislike it?
I dislike it.
Really?
Yeah.
You won't even put it on a salad?
No.
Interesting.
I don't eat a lot of salads either.
You should eat salads.
What do you think about that?
You should eat salads.
I feel like salad is just a bunch of leaves. You know?
It's green stuff. It's good for you.
It is good. Like, I've grown to eat more salad, but, like, I don't like tomatoes. I'm not really a fan of onions. So if there's ever some croutons, I will definitely eat the croutons.
That's not a salad.
I'll eat the croutons, though, you know?
That's not a salad limits.
I know that. I'm not a big salad guy. I'll eat the salad at, like, weddings, parties,
okay,
anniversaries.
Will you eat vegetables? Like, do you have something against vegetables?
No,
or it's just that
I like broccoli.
Salad? Okay.
I'll eat steamed broccoli. I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
Now, 10-year-old Austin would not have said that. 15-year-old Austin would not have said that. But current Austin, yeah.
Okay.
I like, now we're just going to other foods. I like corn. I like green beans. I don't know why we're going into my meal palette here.
I don't know either.
But yeah, I'm not totally against all foods.
Okay. All right, what's the text line telling
us? Text line says that ranch on pizza is a very common and very good combination. How about that? Our friend Southside Jake, who sponsors the Bechtel Breakdown coming up in an hour, says that ranch and hot sauce is a prerequisite for him for pizza. How about that? A prerequisite.
Hey, Buffalo chicken pizza is elite, man. It really is. No shame there.
Somebody else on the text line is agreeing with me. I'm in the same boat as you, Austin. Now I don't feel alone.
It's good.
I'm glad that I can bring you some help there on that party bus that we are now forming of people that are against some of the biggest toppings that are put on things and also sauce. Somebody else says it. I'm right on board with you with no condiments on any sandwich, and that includes hot dogs. But why did they include any sandwiches, including hot dogs? I don't think a hot dog is a sandwich. Is he saying that hot dog is a sandwich, this texter?
I don't know, but he's wrong. It's not a sandwich.
I agree. It's not a sandwich.
It's a hot dog.
Somebody else says next time you go to Chick-fil-A, you need to mix and match with mayo and ketchup. Another texter says City Limits eats like my 18-year-old daughter does.
Okay.
I think it might be a young people thing, a young person thing.
To what, not put condiments on things?
Maybe.
Huh.
I think maybe that's what this texter is alluding to.
All right.
One other texter said, I prefer Westminster's cross-country course to Waynesburg's by a long shot.
Of course they do, because it's better. Waynesburg people around here, do with this.
Somebody else says, two large curly fries at Arby's with every sauce and cheese is very good. Other texter says, Chick-fil-A is definitely fast food. Top tier, though.
Yeah, you could put fast food into tiers. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Wow. Texter says, Brussels sprouts are great if cooked correctly. That's one thing that Donnie ordered on the meal for our steak dinner that we had earlier this week.
That's right. Where did you guys go? Hyde Park?
No.
No?
No, we ended up going to Ruth Chris.
Oh, wow.
It was very good.
Okay.
Yes, Joe treated us well. Wow, Texter, I'm 63 and have never eaten a salad. How about that?
That's good. That's good. All right, let's talk some sports, man.
Oh, I have one more text for you. And this texter put his name because he probably wants it read. Najee Harris once complimented me at training camp for putting hot sauce or for putting hot honey on pizza. Texter, Jack Hillgrove. How about that? Clap it up for you, Jack.
Way to go, Jack.
Interesting.
Way to go. And he's right. Hot honey on pizza, hot honey on darn near anything is really good. I didn't know we were going to open this kind of Pandora's box, but darn it, we did. We did. All right, so we're going to steer it back into a little bit of a more logical direction here. The Penguins wrapping up their season last night. They beat the Capitals. An absolute ridiculous Sidney Crosby feed. Two goals for Brian Rust. He gets over 30 on a season for the first time. Alex Ovechkin scores, gets 897. Gets feted at PPG Paints Arena. A really awesome scene. I was there to witness it. Gets his 44th goal and also a standing ovation from the home crowd. Danton Heinen, Phil Tomasino also scored for the Penguins. Of course, it was a meaningless game. It was the last one of 82. The Penguins are going to have another long summer. That's three in a row. And we're going to talk a lot about how the Penguins can get back to the postseason. What needs to happen? Matt Wenzel, who will join us actually at 1:30, not noon. Matt texted me to let me know he would be busy with a chat and locker cleanout stuff. I forgot to relay that information, so yell at me. He will join us at 1:30 and not noon. But hang on, that'll be a good interview. Matt has a piece right now at post-gazette.com. The big nine questions, I don't know how he settled on nine, but nine facing the Penguins this offseason. We're going to go through some of those, and I want to offer some of my own thoughts on where the Penguins are at and where I think they need to get back to the postseason. The first question on Matt's list, will the big three be back? I think it's a fairly straightforward one. I don't expect anything to happen with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, or Chris Letang. Sidney Crosby is an easy one for me. Evgeny Malkin's going to be in the final year of his contract. I do think that's kind of an underplayed storyline right now with the Penguins. We talk a lot about Sid's loyalty and what to do around Sid and Sid this and Sid that. This is also probably it for Gino. I can't imagine the Penguins have any desire. I'm not sure Gino does. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to Russia and plays a year or two over there. But, you know, he's closing up shop too. And I would hate to see the Penguins be completely non-competitive. Now, I do think that's a fair question to wonder. Are the Penguins going to circle 25-26 or 26-27 in terms of a competitive window? Chris Letang, the recent heart surgery, obviously that's scary. Obviously, the laundry list of stuff that Chris Letang has dealt with over the course of his career is scary. I still don't expect him to be anywhere other than on the Penguins' blue line. The dude loves hockey, puts everything into it. I don't think that's the way Chris Letang would go out. All reports that we've seen or reaction from players, people expect Chris Letang to continue to play. And I think unless something else happens, I expect him to continue to do that for the Penguins. Now, everything else, at least player-wise, I guess can be debated. Brian Rust had a no-trade clause that limited his movement this season. That expires. Rickard Rakell, somebody the Penguins held on to at the trade deadline. I suppose we could talk about those two being trade pieces. I wouldn't. I hope they don't move them. I don't think they should move them. I think they're the types of players that the Penguins should be looking to get. And they're still very much in their prime. They make a reasonable amount of money. They're signed for a couple more years. Don't. Just don't do anything. Like, the Penguins have some stuff that they need to fix, certainly, and we'll get into that. But to me, you're not making yourself better for 25, 26, or even 26, 27, more than likely, by moving those guys. You're only further sort of moving the goalposts, and I don't want to see the Penguins do that. The second question in Matt Wenzel's 9 questions, what about the head coach? And Matt, just to cut to the chase, expects Mike Sullivan to be back. I agree with that. The backing that he's gotten from Fenway Sports Group would indicate as such. If they weren't willing to move on from Mike Sullivan early in the season, I don't see why they would be willing or have any interest in moving on from Mike Sullivan now. The Penguins finished the season in actually, I think, a relatively interesting way. I think, like I was talking about earlier with the Pirates and sort of a blueprint for how they should be doing business, I think the Penguins got a bit of a blueprint for how they should be doing business. And I'll spin that to talk about the opponent last night and the Washington Capitals. Now, if you look at the Capitals lineup and look at some of the moves that they've made over the past couple of years, 2 years ago, the Capitals missed the playoffs. They actually finished with 80 points. Ironically, the same number of points that the Penguins have this season. And what did the Capitals do? Well, they made a bunch of moves that turned out to be really smart, shrewd moves. And they've helped the Capitals almost immediately. And some of what I'm talking about, Dylan Strome, this happened before the season I was referencing, but the Blackhawks, everybody thought they were going to tender him as a restricted free agent. They did not. The Capitals swooped in, picked up Dylan Strome. He had a really good year. 2023, February, Capitals make a trade. They get a first-round pick back. 5 days later, they use that as part of the reason to get Rasmus Sandin from the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's been a top-pairing defenseman for them. They've been really good. Jacob Chychrun, playing for the Ottawa Senators in 2024, July 1st, they end up swooping in and trading for Jacob Chychrun. He's been really good. They signed Matt Roy as a free agent that year. That's basically been their blue line, along with John Carlson, Trevor Van Riemsdyk. They remade the entirety of their back end. And that wasn't it. Actually, a little bit before those moves, the Capitals went out and identified Pierre-Luc Dubois. And you probably noticed him last night. He's a pain in the butt to play against. Was with Columbus, was with Winnipeg, was with the Kings. Wasn't really working out for him in Los Angeles. So what did the Capitals do? They take a gamble on his cap hit. I believe it was $8.5 million. They trade Darcy Kemper, a goaltender, for Pierre-Luc Dubois, put him in their lineup. And all of a sudden, their top two centers are Dylan Strome and Pierre-Luc Dubois. They're able to handle an injury to Nicholas Backstrom. Again, these are all recent moves. This isn't stuff that is developed over time. This is how quickly, if you make smart moves, things can change in the NHL. 10 days after that, this is June 29th, they trade for Logan Thompson, the guy they've had in goal for a lot this season. He did not play last night, but he's been very, very good for them. In the draft, they've drafted well. They've developed Ryan Leonard as one of the names. He was their third line left wing last night. Really productive player. He was eighth overall in 2023. They've had a team in the American Hockey League, the Hershey Bears, that has won the past two Calder Cups. They've developed well. They've stashed prospects. They've brought them up. They've gotten contributions from young players. And they've reconstituted their team in pretty fine fashion. It has happened quickly. And that's exactly what the Penguins are trying to do.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of 5-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
That's why Kyle Dubas has accumulated the assets that he has. The Penguins have 30 draft picks over the next 3 years. They're not going to make all of those draft picks, of course, but they're going to have to... I use the term grease the skids a little bit, but they're going to have to attach some of those picks to players with unwieldy contracts if they're looking to move them. So that takes us to number three on Matt's list. Talks about possible changes. So status quo, well, not really, because they have to make some player changes. The names to circle there, of course, you know that. Erik Karlsson, Ryan Graves, Tristan Jarry. What can the Penguins do? What should they do? I'm of the belief that Tristan Jarry's late season run should have opened up the door for a possible trade. Now, he probably still has negative trade value. That's one of those cases where they're going to have to attach an asset to it. Maybe, again, as we look at those three guys, Karlsson, Graves, and Jarry, with a guy like Jarry, you don't have to buy him out. I would hope not. I think Graves winds up as a buyout. That frees up a little bit of money. Karlsson, I don't think you're going to buy out a $10 million contract. The idea with Karlsson and the urgency to move now is his age. And I think you look at how he played down the stretch, and it was certainly not perfect. And in a place like Pittsburgh, where the margin for error is thin, especially the way they were built on the back end, especially the way their goaltenders performed, you really can't afford to have somebody like Erik Karlsson taking the chances that he did. I have never liked their lineup with Erik Karlsson and Chris Letang on the right side. If you have one of those two types of players, okay. Having two of them, no. The Penguins need to go back to the drawing board a little bit, and they did that late in the season, playing a more responsible game, making the opposing team go through layers to get to their goaltender, making opposing teams work really, really hard. Well, if Erik Karlsson has an ill-timed pinch, he's not thinking, puck management is below the line, which it's been a lot this season, though he has produced offensively, he adds some exciting elements to his game, but the responsibility factor really isn't there. And a lot of the reason, you're talking about Erik Karlsson waiving his no-trade clause, a lot of the reason why that's not going to happen, if you have a team that's competitive and thinks Erik Karlsson's going to add something, they're going to need the offseason to figure it out. They're going to need the offseason to have a little bit more play, a little bit more wiggle room in terms of building their roster and allocating cap space. Now, the Penguins, I still think, are going to have to take some money back in that deal. There's no way they're going to get somebody to take Erik Karlsson for $10 million. That's incredibly bloated. But if you take back $3 million, you're still freeing up $7 million. That's a lot. That's a lot to play with. Right now, the Penguins will enter the offseason with $24 million in cap space. Only 11 teams have more. So think about that. That's partially because of contracts coming off the books. It's largely because of the NHL salary cap going up. If you can create a little bit more money, you know, and Jarry makes $5 million and change, Karlsson makes $10 million, Graves is $4 million and change. You know, if you can, shoot, I'm just spitballing here, but, you know, get $15 million back out of that. 15 plus 24, you're telling me the Penguins can spend $39 million? Now, that's not guaranteeing they spend to the cap. One of the things around the Penguins and around pro sports teams that people should probably know, and I get lectured by this by people who are around professional sports teams and run professional sports teams a lot, is that payroll will be tied to previous year's revenue, and the Penguins did not have off-the-charts attendance for obvious reasons this past season, so it could theoretically impact spending in 25-26. But if you look at it, and I'm going to use Matt's question list as a guide, again, when will Kyle Dubas hit the gas? Well, in my mind, it should be soon. In my mind, it should be soon. Sidney Crosby has shown an extraordinary amount of patience staying here. He's still very much a productive player. 90 points again. Read this stat this morning. It was wild. The first ever player to have three seasons of 90-plus points after turning 35. That's Sid. That's where his game is at. And I guarantee you, as competitive as Sidney Crosby is, he wants to see the Penguins back playing for something as soon as possible. He's also well aware that this is going to be his last season with Evgeny Malkin. Or at least I would think he would be aware. I think you can kind of put your head in the sand. I'm not sure if you can put it that far in the sand. So what that tells me is Kyle Dubas needs to go now. Now, maybe that means signing guys via free agency. Probably also means some trades. I think it could be a very busy, impactful summer for Kyle Dubas. I like the direction that they sort of shifted to. Again, the asset accumulation portion. Kyle Dubas said around the trade deadline, now their focus is going to shift to the execution of that strategy. I understand people that have some doubts about Kyle Dubas, sure. I look at some of the moves that he's made, and I have my doubts too. Riley Smith was not a fit. Erik Karlsson was not the right player. Tristan Jarry was not somebody they should have extended. Ryan Graves has not been a fit on the back end. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be terrible. Again, a lot of that was a strategy that they probably shouldn't have executed in the first place. I question how much Kyle Dubas was maybe influenced by those above him to maintain that strategy. But I think over time we're seeing, and again, I use the Capitals as a benchmark here, how this can be done, how this can be done on the fly. And it's done by targeting players in unique situations. Pierre-Luc Dubois is a perfect example. People thought that that contract was a gigantic overpay, a waste of money, whatever. It was a lot how Dubois was being used. If the Penguins can go out and find players like that, maybe they have a little bit higher of a cap hit. The Penguins should have the space to absorb it. It's almost like Tommy Novak from Nashville. Bring him in a third-line role. Usage. If he's being asked to center one of your top two lines, he's probably overmatched. If he's centering your third line and thus obtaining advantageous matchups, he's going to look a lot better. The last part of the Penguins' situation, well, there's two more parts, but they're intertwined, is sort of what young guys are going to come up here and help out. We saw a taste of that late in the season. Rutger McGroarty was excellent. Ville Koivunen was excellent. I'm continually impressed by Koivunen. I was again last night. The poise he has with the puck, it just does not look like a typical young guy. He doesn't behave like a young guy. And they have other guys that are capable of doing that. Owen Pickering flashed for a bit this season. I expect him to play a greater role. Vasily Ponomarev, Joel Blomqvist, Harrison Brunick, even Sam Poulin. They've got some guys, and it's similar in a way to what the Pirates had a couple of years ago. And it's a point I made to people then. They're not all going to pan out, but you need a couple to pan out. And I understand people will have questions about the Pirates. That's not necessarily the point. The point is that if the Penguins can develop these guys, can bring them up here and put them into roles that fit and get contributions from young guys, it's going to help stabilize or take the burden off of your stars. And the Capitals have done an extraordinary job of that. And that's why the final years of Alex Ovechkin's deal, I believe it was a 5-year extension signed in 2021, they're ahead of the Penguins right now. The Capitals should be a team that Penguins fans look at and say, hey, this is pretty interesting. This is something maybe we can borrow some of these practices. I asked Mike Sullivan about that last night after the game, and he said that, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that teams can look at and take from the Capitals and from a lot of other NHL teams that have had success. You also need to have a clear identity of how you want to play and what you're looking to surround your stars with. And that's where the Penguins need to kind of make this internal. They need to look at Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. They need to look at the style of play that they want to put on the ice. They also need to look at goaltending. And that's the last and final, the most important point, honestly. Because Tristan Jarry this season, Alex Nedeljkovic this season, Joel Blomqvist this season, it wasn't nearly good enough. And you're going to spend every spring at home in the NHL if you can't find actual goaltending. So the Penguins need to figure this out some way, shape, or form. I hope it's not Jarry. It's nothing against Tristan, but I think he could probably use a change of scenery, and I think the Penguins would be best served by going with one of their young guys that they have in Wilkes-Barre and even Wheeling for a part. The guy I'm most intrigued by, Sergei Mureshov, the young Russian kid's been really, really good. He's extremely mature for his age. Maybe Blomqvist ends up turning it around a little bit. Still some work to do there. But they need a goaltender. I would like to see them in free agency target somebody who has a few more miles on the tires as a number one. Ned has been a benefit to the Penguins, but he's a career backup. They could benefit by having somebody who has been in those shoes as a number one to mentor the kids. And we'll see if they do it. But I do think it's possible to get a lot done this summer. I do think it's possible for the Penguins to be closer to competitive and maybe even flirt with the playoff spot next year. I don't think they're ready to make a cup run, but if I'm Sidney Crosby, I'm looking at this thing and seeing, man, I want to see something. We need to be in it. We need to play the way we did over the final month. We need to play that way the entire year. And nobody is delusional enough to think that the Penguins are about to make a run in the Eastern Conference semis or something like that. But they should at least end that year, three-year stretch of not making the postseason.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.